Let's bring in now from NHL, the director of scouting, and also a very well-known pickleball player in some small areas of Calgary, Craig Button. And Craig, kind of all day I've been discussing this idea that people are suggesting if they can, they should trade, the Oilers should trade Cassian away to kind of get away from that contract because there's some interest in a bigger body they can skate. You know, what would you think of that, moving guys out or moving a player out that it seems like is needed in the playoff time but maybe doesn't have the best regular season recently?
Obviously you're always trying to look at, the balance between regular season and playoffs, right? And you know, Jason, you know this, and we've heard it often. And I'm going to go to John McDonough, the longtime president of the Chicago Blackhawks. And he worked for the Chicago Cubs for a lot of years. And he said, in no sport is there such a big difference between the regular season and playoffs as there is in hockey. So, you know, you're always trying to balance out, okay, like, how do you get to the playoffs? Well, you have to have regular season success. But then how do you need success? How do you have success in the playoffs? Well, you need, you know, certain qualities, right? So, you know, Zach might be that player in between a little bit. He didn't have a great year this year. And, you know, I'm forgiving in most instances, if not all of them, with respect to everything that everybody has gone through over the last 15 months. So, you know, when you look at it, I think when Zach is playing well, I mean, he's a good part of your team and a player you want. So, but, and this is the but, and you're always looking at, okay, what do the dollars mean? What could the dollars mean if we go spend it somewhere else? So I think that for me, Kenny Holland and Dave Tippett know the difference between the regular season and the playoffs. And they also know what Zach can bring, and they probably know some different motivating factors for Zach. If you can improve your team, and I'm a big believer in this, I mean, ultimately you're trying to have success, right? And success is defined by first in the regular season and the playoffs. But everything has to come back to that judgment and what you're trying to accomplish. If you can do it, I'm a believer, Jason, that you can trade. You should always consider what can make you better. And having more dollars rather than less gives you more opportunity to consider different options.
What effect does the Scheifele have for both the Habs and the Scheifele suspension have for both the Jets and the Habs now that he's out for the next four games?
I'll start with the Jets. He's a star player. And you know, Jason, that when you're going into a playoff game and the playoff series, you circle 55. You circle the other team's best players, and you have to be aware of them all the time. How many times did you hear, you better be aware of so-and-so when they're on the ice? You better be alert. Oh, yeah. The numbers are circled, right? Well, Scheifele's numbers circled, and players all know. And you can put another player in a spot. You can put another player in a sweater. It's not Mark Scheifele. It's a significant, significant loss for the Winnipeg Jets. And conversely, for the Montreal Canadiens, it's one less player to worry about. It's one less star player to worry about. And the way the Montreal Canadiens are playing right now with the top four defense, you know, Sherratt and Weber and Edmondson and Petrie have been terrific, and Montreal's four lines are rolling along. They lose Jake Evans. They get to put Arturi Lehkonen in, and Thomas Tatar is still sitting on the sidelines. And, you know, I think that, you know, when you look at, you know, where the balance favors now, you know, it swings into Montreal's favor. I don't think there's any question about it.
Talking with TSN's Director of Scouting, Craig Button, on this Friday afternoon on TSN 1260. Craig, you know, last night, Carolina, you know, it gets that all-important first win. Did you feel that they were close to winning the prior two games or lost 2-1, or is this, a different team we saw last night?
Okay, I'm going to give you a general comment. These two teams are really, really good. And, yeah, you know, you go through the first two games, it's one goal game either way. And they both have really good offensive talent, and they can, but they also have really good goaltending and defensive play. And that's reflected in two. I mean, last night, Carolina jumps out 2-0, and, you know, Tampa Bay finds a way 2-2. to me, this is a really evenly matched series. And I think that all, in game two, and I said it on SportsCenter, you better be careful. If you're Carolina, don't fall in love with your shot quantity. You need to get better shot quality. And I think that that's always the case. And I thought last night they had some better opportunities on Vasilevskiy. You know, one of the things I rarely see with Vasilevskiy is him being uncertain of himself in and around the net. I saw that a few times versus Florida earlier in the series. I saw a little bit of it last night. That tells me that Carolina is presenting different challenges for him. And I mean, that overtime goal by Aho was just brilliant in every regard. So I'd probably tell you I was surprised to see a 2-0 series lead for either team coming out of game two. But, you know, 2-1 last night, Carolina knows how to play. They're not going to be intimidated by any challenge facing them. And I see this series 6 or 7. I really do. I don't see this series ending in 5. I think it's a 6 or 7 game.
Well, what about that moment, though, at the end of the third period when the Tampa's on the power play, and their power play is dangerous? And, you know, they were diving in front of everything. And Peter Mrazek, he must have felt like the puck was tiny, because you could tell they were – I mean, that was a huge moment for them, even to start the overtime trying to kill that penalty.
Well, you know, there's huge moments in the game, right? And, you know, there's a couple of things, right? That you get to a point where, you know – you dial it up just a little bit more, right? You have to. And sometimes you don't even know if you can, but you just say, I have to find a way. And you do. And, you know, Jason, you've been on championship teams. You've been in highly competitive playoff series where, you know, you're not even sure you can do it one more time. But the beautiful thing about playoffs and the beautiful thing about hockey is the players find a way to get one more ounce out of them or one more big play out of them. And you don't have to tell them. Now, on the flip side of that, maybe not the flip side, but the ancillary part of that, I think Rod Brind'Amour doesn't have to tell them, listen, guys, we got to be careful about taking penalties against this Tampa Bay team.
Yeah. Yeah, that you should all know. I mean, the way those guys, like when I say those guys, and you know, I'm not even sure who's in front of the net. I just know that Kucherov, Stamkos are on the wings. You got Hedman, and then you got Point. And then I guess it's Killer, is Killer maybe in the front there. But the way they pass the puck, it is, I mean, I don't think they miss a pass on the power play. Like, it's always flat. God, that's frustrating as a penalty killer, isn't it?
Well, you know, you're trying to get into the lanes, right, with your stick. You know, to deny the passing lanes. You know, you're trying to, you know, make sure that the good players don't get a good look at the net, so you're getting into the shooting lanes, and that's all part and parcel of it, right? But it, not only do they pass the puck exceptionally well, they pass the puck quickly and they move quickly. So, you know, you're not just defending a pass. You're defending as they move it quickly. You've got to move back into a better position. That becomes hard to maintain. And then other players are moving into positions where you now quickly got to get back to there. They are so adept at breaking you down. And despite that, and Carolina has a good penalty kill, but the best teams, you know, when you move that puck quickly and you move yourself quickly, you present a lot of challenges for them. And Tampa Bay does exactly that.
Great Button joins us talking all things NHL related. We had the draft lottery the other night in Buffalo Sabres, you know, for, you know, they earned that right to be the first team. But, you know, if you're the owner of the Buffalo Sabres and looking at the volume of work required by Kevin, you know, rookie GM Kevin Adams, does it make you nervous? You need to bring in, you know, a veteran voice or a more experienced voice to help him guide? Because I made a note that they have so much to do, much less trying to convince a guy that he doesn't want to get traded in Jack Eichel.
You know, Jason, I think that your comment is so spot on. You know, Kevin Adams is an intelligent guy. Kevin Adams doesn't have any experience in this role. And I'm a huge practitioner of smart people know what they don't know. And there's a lot of things Kevin Adams doesn't know and can't know at this point in his career as a manager. So to get people in that can help you and guide you and, you know, and just point out different things as you're growing. I've never ever felt that there was anything wrong with having inexperience in different areas of your operation. But you got to support that inexperience as they're trying to gain their footing. Bobby Clark left playing right into the front office. And it wasn't until a few years later he said, he goes, yeah, I might have been called the GM. Keith Allen was still the GM, just mentoring me as I made the calls and told me what I did. So here's Bobby Clark, a great executive in my view, and, you know, had a lot of success. But when he looked back at his first few years, he just said, I was a flyer. I knew the organization. I didn't know anything about management. Thank God, he says, I had Keith Allen around to help me. He goes, and I knew I needed help, but it wasn't until later on that I could reflect back how beneficial it was to have that help. That's what Kevin Adams has to do. And and there's a difference between intelligence and being smart. I know a lot of intelligent people that aren't smart, and I know a lot of smart people that might not have the greatest IQs. But when you combine intelligence and you're smart about things, you can have a lot of success. And that's what Kevin has to do.
Yeah, it's amazing. When you look at his list, you know, I made a small list here. Hire a new coach, figure out to what they're going to do with this first overall pick. They have multiple players that didn't express a lot of interest in returning. So how do you manage that? Then if you have to make those trades, figure that out. And then, quite frankly, restock a roster that is really struggling. Like, I don't know how you can do that, you know, even with a fully, you know, management group of just going out and do it all. Like, it almost seems impossible. The guy won't be able to sleep. So I wonder if you're Jack Eichel, if that makes you more likely to think maybe I should move on.
Well, you know, James, I think, again, you nailed it. Like, you know, it's not about, like, I mean, players play, and they want to play, and Jack's the captain of the Buffalo Sabres. But what management always has to do, so coaches in the immediate focus on the game, you know, you want a game plan. You want a game plan that says, I got a chance, we got a chance to go out and win tonight. And, you know, if you have a disorganized coach or a coach that's just, hey guys, we got to work harder than them tonight. That's not a game plan. A game plan is, hey, these are the things we got to be aware of. Yeah, Jason, right. you know, you heard that exact line many times, right? And and you know from your experiences, you think about the coaches you had in junior hockey. Just think about it, right? And you're going now to pro hockey, and you're going like, whoa, like, really? And I'm not trying to knock anybody, but that's a reality. So for game flow, you need and management. Players need to have faith in management that they're going to be able to have. Players want to be successful. Players want to have an opportunity to win and to, you know, be in a situation where they can compete at the highest level for the championship. That's what they want. And management, some days you're going to be able to provide a little hope. Other days you're going to provide a lot of hope. But conversely, when you're not providing any hope and now you're providing doubts on that hope, why would a player want to stay? That's what I say. And that's what it's up to the management to provide that hope. Your good friend, Jerome Iginla, and I know coming here to Calgary as a manager, I've come from Dallas, we've been highly successful. And, you know, we sat, and I knew Jerome was a key player, a star player. And what I had to do was, you know, make sure that we were giving signs to him and other key players on our team that we were going to do things to move the team forward. And some days the results aren't exactly there, but the players can see it and they go, okay, this will help us. And every step along the way, you have to do that in management or you lose the faith of the flock, so to speak. And once you lose the faith of the flock, guess what? It becomes really difficult to gain that back.
One last one for Craig Button of TSN. Craig, you know, up 2-0, Colorado is, I don't think they've lost a game in the playoffs so far. And outside of not taking penalties to let that just crazy good power play get on the ice, what can Vegas do to get that win and maybe get the momentum shifted back to their corner?
I think they're capable of shifting it. I really do. I think that these two teams are really good. You know, throw out game one, game two, I thought Vegas really played well. I think they did two things exceptionally well in game two that you have to, and remember, they've played Colorado 8 times in the regular season, 2 times now. There should be no surprises for the Vegas Golden Knights. But I thought they did two things exceptionally well. They really were able to get Colorado pushed into half ice. And when I say by half ice, I'm talking about lengthwise. You know, when Colorado's able to open up the ice and they kick the puck wide and they kick it back the other, it just feels like there's 15 players coming at you. I thought that the Vegas Golden Knights did a great job of really pushing Colorado into the half part of the ice. It becomes easier to manage. Everybody gets to manage it, right? Like, you only got to focus here. You don't have to worry about it being opened up. That was number one. Number two, I thought they really were able to work in the offensive zone and get a lot of really good opportunities at Grubauer. And prior to being able to do that, they weren't giving up the puck in the offensive zone. And when Colorado gets the puck, they want to transition so exceptionally quick. Well, make them grind. Make them play below the circles. Make them have to defend against you. Don't be trying to make hope plays and try to make those plays. Vegas is really good at moving around in the offensive zone, but they didn't give up the puck. And then they were able to get a lot better quality of shot on Grubauer. Grubauer was good, and Grubauer's posts and crossbars also helped them out. So those two things are things that and those two things are material, I think, for success. And I think that Vegas did a great job. I won't be surprised if Game 5, I think it will come back to Denver for Game 5, and I won't be surprised if it's 2-2. I think these two teams are really good and really evenly matched. And, you know, again, Vegas found a pass, and they know what that pass is, and they executed it. And keep in mind, and I think, too, going back to a full building in Vegas, that's a wild crowd in Vegas, and they're going to have a full building in there tonight.
It's going to be awesome. Craig, have a great weekend. Thanks for the insight, and we'll talk to you next week.
You will, and you know what I'm going to do?
Pick up all time?
I'm going to get a chocolate milkshake from McDonald's, because I love them as much as you.
They're so good. They're so good. I absolutely love it. Craig, enjoy it, buddy. They're the best. Talk to you soon.
Okay, see ya.